Hello, beautiful alchemist. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda, and today we have an amazing conversation with a special guest named Vlad. And Vlad is the founder of Reiki Scoop. So if you haven't heard of Vlad and his work, you can learn more at ReikiScoop.com or follow Vlad on Instagram at Reiki Scoop. So this conversation got me so excited. I just want to thank Vlad again for coming to talk about all of this. What we planned to talk about was the three main structures of human psyche and how Reiki relates, and we do get into this in depth. He is going to talk to you about what some of you may know as the three diamonds or the three Dandians. We talk a lot about Reiki and dance in and out of how Reiki really points to unity consciousness. So I'm excited for you to hear this conversation. Hopefully, there's something in here that inspires you, your work, your path, your way. And then when the episode is over again, be sure to check out Vlad's work at ReikiScoop.com or also on Instagram at ReikiScoop. I also want to remind all of you, speaking about this unity consciousness and excitement about Reiki, I am hosting a Reiki retreat immersion in September in San Diego. I'm very, very excited about it. And you'll hear, just even from what we talk about in this episode, why I have just been very hopeful that the bigger picture around Reiki will become a bigger conversation. So if you want to join me for the Reiki retreat in September, you can sign up for my newsletter. You can get information that way. You can get information from my website, or if you want the link to register, you can email me, reach out to me, and I will send you that information. So that is it for now. Get comfortable. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Vlad, and I will see you on the other side. Hey everyone, we are here today with the wonderful Vlad from Reiki Scoop. And I want to start off, first of all, for just to thank you for taking the time to have this conversation so we can all learn in community. Thank you for being here, Vlad.
Thank you so much for having me, Yolanda. I'm a little bit anxious and I'm so happy actually to be here. I really love your podcast. I've seen a few videos, and again, I'm really happy and anxious to be here. And what can I say? I wish I can share as much knowledge and insight with people that are interested in Reiki or spirituality, both
Yes.
subjects, because they can blend together quite well. And hopefully I can be of service to people as much as possible. So thank you for having me here.
Well, that with that, I mean, thank you for all that you do. So one of the things I just want to let people know before we get deep into it, and we'll talk some more about it, that's exactly what your work is centered around. So you provide a lot of content, even a lot of free content for people to be able to have access for. More information around Reiki. You provide a lot of articles, a lot of information about different techniques, different aspects of Reiki in of itself. So just from the start, I want to tell people that they can learn more about your work at ReikiScoop.com. Pretty straightforward. You do give the
Correct.
Reiki scoop. And then on social media, they can find you at ReikiScoop as well. So, but let's learn some more about you first before we get deep into the work. Vlad, what even got you on this path to Reiki? How did you find yourself practicing this technique?
Well, Yolanda, it started a long time ago. I was really interested in, how can I call the metaphysical subject, esoteric subject, since I was like 15 years old, even younger, 14 years old. And my sister was the one, was the catalyst for this kind of interest in my life. I resonated with this kind of subjects, and she was interested in Hinduism, Buddhism, the philosophy, the religions. And she handed me some books like Dhammapada, and there were a few others, if I recall, the Upanishads. You have one now. I have a re-edited version now. And I started reading from them and I understood some things. And then I became more and more interested. And then I was asking her, and a friend of hers who was also into crystals and Reiki. And I was, talking to them about this. My sister was not into Reiki per se, was in more in astrology and again, Hinduism, Buddhism, and the spiritual part of those religions. And I started to become more and more interested. And at one point, she also had another friend who went to practice Reiki in Bucharest, here in Romania, with a teacher. And I was asking questions. I was about 18, 19 years old. I think I was 18 back then. And by the time I turned 19, I also went to this teacher after I saw him and I met him through the friend of my sister. And I went to his class, and it was, unfortunately, that's how classes were in a busy city. They're over the weekends. I know Reiki and any spiritual practice should be taught like at least 1 week, full time, and maybe 2 weeks. But this was 1 weekend. It was like a crash course. And I was quite a bit confused at 19 years old about what did I just receive? I received attunements for the first levels, first level and second level. And there was the symbols and there were the activation of palms and the energy flow. And I was, okay, I get some of it, but I really wasn't that, clear. It wasn't everything clear for me what I'm supposed to do right now. I understood something with the hands-on treatment and placing the hands on the body. But then I met a student of my teacher who was just a little bit older than me, and he was also passionate, and he had more time. And he explained to me, these are the symbols, this is what you have to do, these are the concepts, these are the principles, this is the philosophy of Reiki, and this is how it blends with the idea of spirituality, of the energy flow, of how everything is connected, and the universal energy flow and the vital energy flow. And then I started understanding like how everything adds up. And he literally, I met him, I was meeting him at cafeterias, and he was literally explaining the symbols. I can remember right now, I think I still have the notebooks, like line by line, like the Hon Shazishonen with the 22 symbol, 22 lines. And he was explaining, and I said, oh my God, it's so difficult to remember. And he told me, you don't need to remember line by line. You need to understand what a symbol does, how you can use it, and what it means. You don't need to remember each and every line or by heart. Instead of learning it, he's learning its importance and how to use it. Anyway, and this person really helped me a lot. And then I went back to my original teacher. He did seminars each week on a Tuesday night, and he had patients for which he had no more time at his own office because he was full all time of the week, even in the weekends and on Saturdays, more exactly, he was full. And he had no more time for those people. And on the seminars on Tuesday, he brought them to this another place that we were holding the seminar. It was a school. And we were doing a therapy there on those patients. And I learned from those seminars a lot years on end. And then I went on the weekends, the courses with him or other teachers for Reiki, Usui Reiki, Karuna Reiki, Shambhala Reiki, Gendai Reiki, and other systems as well. And but I become more proficient in Usui Reiki, Karuna Reiki, and Shambhala Reiki. Those were my favorites. And I did that for many, many years. And it was a passion and it was really great. I never got tired of it until my teacher kind of stopped doing that. There was somebody else doing it. And I figured, okay, I have some things under my belt now that I really understand. It was from a hobby turned into a passion quite fast. And I realized that one day I want to do this. I want to teach. I would like to teach, but not the same as they do. I want to do it a bit different. Back then, that was like, I don't know, 2000. 10, I think 2009, 2010, because I started around 2003 and I went for those years and then I continued at seminars, but not at the same rhythm as I did before, because I had to work, I had to go abroad and work, I had, a dynamic life. So I had to balance things out. And I met many practitioners from many other countries as well. I studied a little bit with everybody as much as possible and I took the information, from everybody. Try to gather it. And when the time came to come back to Romania, I started Reiki Scoop around 5 years ago, if I remember correctly, with one of my best friends, Peter. And he's taking care of all the logistics, all the website parts, all the mechanics, of the process. But I bring the content and we blend each other quite well. And He told me at one point, do you still want to do something with Reiki? Do you still want to teach Reiki somehow? I said, yes, but how can I do this? And he said, listen, we have a few options. And we started talking and talking, and Reiki Scoop was born. And I realized that this is actually, I think this is the way I would like to teach it, for to bring all that knowledge from my main teacher and his student and all the teachers I met before, to bring it to English-speaking countries. Because even though, for example, United States, there are so many Reiki teachers, I think there is information to which I had access that perhaps it brings new perspectives to Reiki, and not only Reiki, to spirituality and how things can blend together. And I'm not talking about just modern Reiki approach or traditional Reiki approach. I'm talking about spirituality concepts, methods of healing or cleansing, as you wish to call them, or protection even, that can blend together with the Reiki systems. And my main teacher, the one that I participated in the course, which I came out of confused, he's a doctor at his base. He's a psychiatrist, and he became interested in this kind of metaphysical elements and tried to explain them a little bit with medical science. But it was quite very difficult, and even now it's difficult, right? And he started spending time with priests, Christian priests. We are a Christian country, so he went to the Christian priests and monks, actually. And he spent time with monks and priests, and he learned a lot of things of how they proceed with cleansing, exorcism even, and how they approach not only the religious part, but the spiritual part. They blend together, the two concepts, but you can separate some elements. And he was interested in how this can complement medicine, and how can medicine complement this kind of spiritual activities and methods. And that's why everything I learned from him and all the other teachers, I think I can present to the world as much as I can, as much as I filtered, that information, because it's through my perception, and offer, again, not only new perspectives, but some new insights and knowledge
Well, I
to the
want to
world about
get
Reiki.
back to you about the cleansing part because a lot of people have questions about that. But first, I have to ask you about something that you shared a moment ago because it is a very common thing that will come out of our initial training and have more questions. And I, similar to you, I was very curious. And so I studied with several people and, I just really genuinely wanted to understand. And this was before any thought of teaching or anything. I just wanted to make sure I understood. But I liked that option of having various lenses, various perspectives, very much the same as you. But this is a common thing. So, also why I want to do the podcast, so thank you for coming to share. But so people do have access to additional information, and even if you can't study with however many different teachers, you still have other ways that you can learn and add to or expand on what you may have already been taught, right? So listening to you say that, again, it reminds me so much of what has inspired me, but I wanted to ask you about how that then really inspired Reiki Scoop. Because if anyone hasn't been to the site or they haven't yet been able to come across your book work, that sounds like why you have this compilation of so much that you provide. So can you share a little bit about how you did all of this, like research, learning, pulling it all in, and then putting it into, content?
Well, to be honest with you, I started with basic things, like my friend Peter told me, okay, Vlad, you're not going to make a course as nobody knows you. So first of all, let's write, put on paper, almost at least everything that you know, and I start from scratch, because this is also useful for you. He meant for me as a person, so I can get clarity in. Because I was never placed in a position to write everything down from scratch. I had the information, the knowledge, the experience. But it was the first time I was actually placed in a situation which I have to write a book, let's say. And of course, I had to write articles, and the first articles were terrible. Terrible, not in a sense that they were wrong in terms of, I don't know, symbols or methods, but they were like super small, and they had little information, and it's not enough. that no, this is how we can, how we have to write the articles. And okay, I started writing the articles properly. And I started with the basics. I started with what is similar things to what is Reiki, who is Hawaii Takata, who is Jujiro Hayashi, who is Ikao Usui, what are the Reiki levels in Usui Reiki, what are the symbols in Reiki. And I started with Chokurei, Seiheki, Honshanshin, and everything. And I modified them after that a few times, each one of them. And I started from scratch. So I think this, to answer your question, is I went, and many times this happened, back to the original source, so to speak, back to origins. And when I came back to Romania, I remember I was attending the beginner's course again. Even if I had master teacher level, it doesn't matter. I had to go to beginner's course again and ask one of my friends who also teaches Reiki. And he's a student of my teacher. He became a student as well. I recommended him. And he's teaching in Bucharest, face to face, not on, rarely online. And if it's online, it's in Romanian. So yeah. But I was asking him, what's your perspective on this? What's your perspective on, I don't know, a symbol or method or hands-on positions or whatever? And he started placing his perspective from his experience and the face-to-face classes that he has. And I participated and repeatedly, and I realized, okay, I have to go back from the start. So let's start from the start. Let's start with what, first things first, right? So I start with the basics, and then I realized, okay, but wait, I learned how to do some combinations of symbols in order to achieve something, like to cleanse a part of, or to activate the flow of energy, or to send distance Reiki, or whatever it is. And then I started, okay, I'll write about this in with this intention, about the symbol with this intention, trying to place a combination of elements, system, and knowledge so that the article points out to that method or whatever it is. And it was a lot of work. I mean, I have like 101 articles, all for free, obviously. And I have to write more. I just don't have the time right now, but more will come. More will come. And they're all connected to Reiki. They are not in, some of them are not entirely separate concepts. They are a bit separate, meaning that, I don't, for example, I was writing about sacred geometry. But sacred geometry can be found in certain Reiki systems. And how does that blend with Reiki therapy? And how can you use those symbols or the philosophy in the sacred geometry concept to use it for your, well, your development and well-being? And I tried to blend all those things as time passed, you know, and it took like 4 years of building everything and rewriting and re-editing everything.
So, well, there's a couple of things with what you're saying. One, I love that you say you go back and you edit, because I always tell people don't be so rigid in what you think you know, because as you keep going on this path, you keep practicing, you keep learning. What you think you know today may expand or include more than what you know today. So I like that you give that flexibility. The other thing that you bring up is the importance of being accountable to our own path, because a lot of people, they may go to one class and walk away because they had an expectation that that one class or that one attunement was supposed to fix everything. But it's a very different experience from people who decide to continue to practice, continue to educate themselves. Like you, I also have gone back and done level one and level two, even after doing master level, like, very similar. So I just hope that people really hear that, this, it goes as deep as you're willing to go. And there is no particular order as much as really tuning into how you're being guided or what you're curious about and following those inspirations. But the other thing I have to ask you about, Vlad, because this comes up a lot, you mentioned sacred geometry and how that may come into different systems. There's such a mix in this community, right? So there are some people who are like, I would say, like absolute purist. They're like Reiki, just don't add anything and no additives, right? But then there are other people who study other things or drawn to other techniques and whatever, and they may or may not incorporate it into their practice. I personally am from the mindset of, you can have Reiki and. So, Like, I'm very clear in what I teach, which aspects and which concepts come from the system of Reiki. But if I teach anything else, it's like Reiki and. But the key for me is it's all energy. And if we're coming from the lens of like Reiki is literally within all things, I don't feel like the hard line of separation, but I get the distinction of Reiki and, right? But then in all of this again, how does it all unify? So I want to ask you about that, your perspective around understanding and working with the system of Reiki, and then also having information or understanding about other concepts that may not be necessarily taught in the system.
Yes, well, the first thing that you learn when you learn more is that you have less and less knowledge.
Yes.
That's to complete what you were saying
Yeah.
before. I mean, it's really frustrating actually. At one point you get and you realize, oh my God, I know nothing. I actually thought that, oh, I'm so great. I know those Reiki systems, and I read a few books on Reiki, and I've learned a few books on Shintoism, Japanese
Right.
Shintoism, or Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Christianity, or I learned a few things about how each one perceives, and oh, I know so much. You don't. We don't, unfortunately, because
Yeah.
it's so much. And that's the thing. Here we can not blend, necessarily blend, but we have to think about how all this information came to be.
Right.
And then I was thinking about quite a very well-known book of Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist, which many people criticize because it's too easy, it's too childish, and there's a spiritual concept presented too childish. But that was the point. It was
Right.
presented that like that so that everybody can understand it. Because if it was a philosophical concept, it would reach like 10% or even less of the whole population, because not everybody's interested in that kind of perspective.
Right.
And that's a very good example for channeling. More than most of our information in creating something, especially on this kind of domain, spirituality, is channeled. This is the reality. We don't realize it because we get caught up in day-to-day life. But most books on spirituality or philosophy, even, or many other things, psychology sometimes, the information is sometimes channeled. Of course, there are studies behind it. But those studies, in turn, are from bright minds, and those bright minds are receiving or know, understand, and perceive things in a certain way that the others don't.
Right.
And that's their intelligence, of course. But that's like also, in my opinion, like a divine spark, within that person that allows that person to write or present to the world a different perspective. And I think everything is channeled. And to complete what you were saying, yeah, I think that the more we learn, the more we realize how we don't know that much. We need to learn more and more and more and understand. Of course, when the cup is full, it will overflow. Sometimes you need to empty that cup,
Right.
like Bruce Lee said, empty the cup so that you can pour fresh water. So sometimes when you go to a new practice, for example, you go to certain type of meditations or theta healing or what, Qigong, it's ideal to empty the cup, to leave aside this, for example, Reiki. You can blend it afterwards. You can see the benefits of, the benefits of Reiki. You see the benefits of Qigong or whatever it is. And then you can blend them together because Reiki is very flexible. It can incorporate philosophy and principles and methods into the Reiki practice. And I'm not just talking about the self-treatment in Reiki.
Right.
For example, what can I one of the best example is the idea that I wanted to present today, the concept of having multiple levels, not only the chakras. I know the chakras for purists, as you mentioned, in Reiki, they don't belong because chakras are from Hinduism. And Reiki is originally from Japan, from a Shintoist priest. So which was channeled. And all the information you get from the books of Hinduism, the metaphysical parts of Hinduism, they have the chakras, but they also have a similar part which can be found in Chinese and Japanese philosophies, the three dan tiens or tan dens, the three
Right.
main centers, which are not chakras, they are places of consciousness. That's the mind, the soul, and the spirit. And those are the three main psychic, human psychic levels from which we operate. The chakras, coincidentally, the chakras also intersect. The third eye chakra intersects with the center of the mind. The heart chakra intersects with the center of the soul, and the sacral chakra intersects with the idea of spirit. They do intersect, but they are different concepts, which also the Hindu metaphysical philosophy also presents, and also the Buddhist, and also the Chinese and the Japanese, sorry,
Right.
present in Buddhism and in Shintoism. They didn't have the knowledge. Mikao Usui, when he channeled Reiki, he had no knowledge about the chakra. Neither did Hawayo Takata, neither Chujiro Hayashi, and many of their students. Still, now making a parenthesis here, if you blend the idea of chakras with Reiki, why not? It works perfectly well. You are sending energy when you're placing your hands on the chakras. You are stimulating that energy center so it can function better. So therefore, your area of the body becomes more functions better and is healed. And for example, you place your palms on the third eye chakra position, awareness develops, intuition, the thirst for knowledge, everything that you should perceive around you becomes better, benefits from a better awareness. I'm not sure how to explain it better. So you stimulate that point. Of course, now knowing that there are three levels of the human psyche, main levels, you stimulate those levels, meaning that when you develop those energies, those main energetic centers, the mind, the soul, and the spirit areas of the body, that's when the spiritual growth comes to life. More exactly, you unite the energy that flows, the currents, so there are two currents that flow through these places of the body, becoming one, unity, because that's the point. We don't realize it, most of the practitioners, but that's the point in the end, becoming unity. This is what other religions or philosophies called enlightenment. Enlightenment doesn't mean that you live in a cave and you levitate and you disappear from the world. Okay, that's a whole new level, I guess. That's a different concept, which, yeah, maybe, I mean, I'm sure that it was, at least by Buddha, it was attained. I know that when he passed through Nirvana, but that's a different story. Enlightenment doesn't need to be, doesn't necessarily mean being isolated in a cave. Enlightenment can start by drinking your coffee in the morning, taking some time for yourself, breathing, meditating, practicing Reiki, whatever it is that makes it good for you. Looking inside of you and understanding those levels that I was talking about, how they function, and listening to the aspects that I'm going to present in a minute, listening to those aspects of your inner self that tell you, I need this, or I need a bit more healing on this side, or I need this kind of attention. And why do I need that? Why does this part of me require that? Is there something that needs fulfilling? Why do I need healing on a mental level? What's going on? I'm not offering my mind enough knowledge or light or pure energy. Or is it because I'm stressed? And why am I stressed? Because what happens in my life? What I need to change? Of course, those thoughts come alive in the people's mind that don't practice these kind of things. But the more you practice whatever it is, meditation, Reiki, or other spiritual practices, the more you activate this flow of energy that unites those centers so that you can become aware of yourself in a harmonious way, not in a, how to say, not in a aggressive or accidental way, perhaps, like some people have accidents and they become ill, or they have these realizations of what am I doing in my life. You know, you don't need that. I mean, that's an extreme. It's obviously unwanted. But the elements that I was talking about, coming back to the concept of the three main power centers or energy centers, it's difficult to find a proper word. The tandens or dantians, in Japanese they are dantians, if I'm not mistaken, and in Chinese they are dantians, I think. It's difficult to pronounce. There's slightly different pronunciation. The mind is the one that we receive and we develop when we come to this planet. Since we are childs, we take care of it. We should take care of it. And we should develop it, read more, and try to understand how the world functions. We accumulate knowledge from school, from kindergarten, even from school, primary school, college, and so on and so forth. And also, whatever we see around us develops our personality. which parts of it is interpreted by the mind. And then we have the soul. I'm pointing to this area because everybody, my soul hurts, you know, that expression. Everybody believes that the soul, I do believe that part of the soul, most of it's here, but I think the soul is spread throughout the body, in every cell, in every tissue, every muscle, every bone. And this is the divine spark. This is like the software with the beneficial programs that helps us function in this world, in the physical world, so that we can live our lives. We can, you know, fulfill what we have to fulfill. These programs can be changed. Our soul can be affected by suffering, can be affected by stress, can be affected by anxiety, by illness, or what, you know, every situation that's unpleasant in life, or but can also feel through it, we can feel emotions like joy. We can feel compassion. We can offer forgiveness, detachment, love. That's the software that calculates all those feelings. And the mind is the one that interprets those emotions and feelings. So, you know, some people say, no, it's the mind that creates emotions. Let me give you a hint here, and I learned this from a great person, Christopher Wallace, I believe his name is. I did a course with him. And he's a professor in Sanskrit. And he explained that all our emotions, if you take a step back and think about your emotions, try to perceive them, they are felt within a center line of the body. They're not felt in the mind. You feel sometimes headache when you have stress. Okay. Fear, where do you feel fear? Right here in the solar plexus. It feels like something is, you know, shrinking. And that's the energetic field shrinking because it comes closer to you because of the scare and tries to protect you. When you feel love, where do you feel it? From here. You can feel it from all your body, but mostly you feel it from here. When you feel that you are, you know, you're doing sports, you go to the gym, you kind of feel the lower abdomen area a bit more energized, a bit more, you know, tingling. It's like the blood flowing more and more because you activate the lower chakras, which are responsible for physical interaction. And all those feelings, when you want to express yourself and you cannot and you have difficulty, you feel like there's a knot here, the throat chakra. So all those feelings are through this center line of the body. They are perceived through the center line of the body. The mind interprets them, but they are felt through this feeling. And that's the soul calculating where those emotions come from. And they come from the solar plexus area. They come from the heart. They come from the sacral area. They come from the throat. And this software, the soul, tries to blend all those emotions and then the mind interprets them. And then you can act, take a step back if you can and act on it. Okay, I feel, why did I have this fear? Maybe there's a dog barking at me or trying to bite me, or some person is aggressive with me. And the mind interprets, I have to take a step back. It's the instinctive instinct that acts in that moment. But is the mind processing all this, taking a step back and, you know, defending yourself or whatever you have to do in that moment? Still, I did mention the instinct part. And without contradicting myself, I have to come down now to the third level. It depends how you want to perceive it. You can have the first, second, or third, or first, second, and third, doesn't it? But I come now to the third level from how I presented this discussion. And the third level is the so-called spirit, the inner self, which in Hindu philosophy is well, it contains also the Kundalini energy, which is the vital energy of our inner self. And the inner self is the structure that, according to their philosophy, reincarnates over the eons, is the one that gets all the experience from all those lives, not the soul, the spirit. And goes gets all that experience from all the lives, and you come to this planet, incarnate, with all those programs and experiences you have accumulated in past lives, but you don't have access to all of them. Actually, you have no access at all most of the time, because if you had access to all those past lives, you would go crazy. Imagine if you were a Viking warrior and you had to destroy homes and do all the things Viking did. I don't want to get into detail. Or maybe you were a conqueror, or maybe you were a priest, a monk. Maybe you're not ready for that kind of information and energy that the inner self can show you right in that moment. You would go like, what am I going to do now? I mean, I have all these experiences in my mind. There is a veil that keeps all that in place. And this was a medical discussion with my teacher, who I mentioned, he's a medic, that sometimes the people in asylums, they don't have that veil. That veil doesn't exist. And they bring up, oh, I was Napoleon. I was, I don't know what, warrior or whatever, conqueror or whatever. They have some glimpses possible, not all of them. Not, I wouldn't say all of them, but they have glimpses from past lives or lives of their ancestors. They are so connected and they go crazy because the mind cannot process all that. The mind is, again, from this planet. It was born. Once we were born, it was developed with our development, our physical development. It cannot comprehend all that information. It will go crazy. So there's a veil that keeps that at bay. You can discover what you were in previous lives with, and I encourage everybody who wants to do that just to be sure they find a suitable teacher. I'm not sure how a suitable teacher should look like. I haven't done regressions, but regressions, I know they can help to go back into past lives. See what you have to heal or fix there, because I think that's the purpose in the end, heal those
Yes.
things that needed healing, so you can unblock potentials in the present and not have any strings attached from the past mistakes you have done.
Right.
And there's also I'm not sure if I pronounced this correctly, family constellations.
Yes.
It's like you go and see your ancestors, you reconnect with them and see what needs healing again, whom you need to ask forgiveness to, or what you have to learn from them, from their spirit. And there are all these methods that help you understand past, but they do it gradually, slowly, in a rather calculated manner, not suddenly. Well, that's why accidents, as I mentioned before, like in the movie Constantine, he has the accident, he starts seeing the angels and demons. Because in that moment, certain abilities can strike, right? Within your body and just take over, because you're not ready to receive all that. That's why Reiki, Qigong, Theta healing, Tai Chi, meditations, all those practices help you gradually reach your healing and awareness potential, not in a sudden way. Especially in my opinion, I find Reiki is just my opinion. I find Reiki, I think, the most balanced of all, because it's really a balance. It really takes you time to reach that. I haven't seen.
I want to highlight that what you're saying, Vlad, because this is a big thing for me too. So I actually recently posted a podcast about the brilliance of Reiki. And the reason is because I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people may have, there are a lot of ideas about the system and what it is, but very rarely do people learn or know about the what it's really pointing to, and about this unity consciousness and what you mentioned before. And so, with that, there are a lot of opinions and stories, and people say things about it that kind of make it like, oh, Reiki's so light. It's not as powerful as other things and all these things. And I'm like, wow, that's a very interesting way to look at it. Because from my experience, I think it is brilliant in that it does take us gently, well, sometimes gently. I mean, sometimes
Yeah,
we
it
have
depends.
moments of like
Yeah.
healing and realization that are tough and they can be challenging.
Yeah.
However, compared to some other ways, it does, the system has so many different ways of helping us to unlock, uncover, transform, change, just all of it, right? In a pacing that just seems more healthy for us. But ultimately, it's pointing to this unification of, mind, body, spirit, this awareness that we really are separate from no thing, this awareness of, and it's funny you mentioned the one of my teachers calls them the three diamonds, but the three Dandians. When I just taught Pulse of Reiki, and I taught it in December and January, that was something we covered, were the Dandians, right? But that to me is the brilliance of Reiki that I think a lot of people don't get exposure to, of what it's actually pointing us to and what it helps us to really truly come to understand about our own system, our own functionality, and how it's really not that dissimilar from so many other systems and philosophies, but it's just put together in such a way that it's simplified, and I think it's gives us a way of navigating in a way that is more accessible to people. I'm so excited you said this. This is why I'm like, oh my God, because I really hope that this will become a bigger conversation where people see the true beauty of the system and not anyway. So to your point too, a lot of people want this immediate thing of like, I want to awaken. I want to go do something that's going to just like activate me and put me on. I'm like, can you imagine? Like, really, if you sat and thought about where you sit right now with all of your beliefs, your attachments, your conditions, all of the things, and then all of a
Eventually, yeah.
sudden something just blew the lid off of all of that immediately, how maddening that would be.
It's
Like,
like the earth stays still and you're
yeah.
throwing out,
How
the
could you
atmosphere.
even
It's like the
process all of
same.
that?
Yeah.
No.
You won't
Yeah.
be able. You go crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally
So,
go crazy, yeah.
yes, you would. And I also have considered that a lot. Like, sometimes when we see people that we may consider, like, you know, are have like some extreme mental health challenges, I often have wondered about that too. Like, wow, imagine like having this access that you don't know how to contain, or that you just haven't learned to manage, or you're not fully in connection with yourself first, and all of the things. So, going back to the Dandians and even the veils that you say, the pacing of that awakening that happens within us, the pacing of it, I think, is so important in recognizing the beauty as you're going through these levels of realization, right? You also make me think of kids, that you hear a lot of stories of children who will have
Yeah,
memories of
stories.
these. Yeah.
Exactly.
But everything you said, Vlad, also points right back to the system of Reiki. I mean, even looking at the
I was
Lower
going to make,
Dandian,
yeah,
and like
the
how we
connection,
have
yeah.
so many meditations that point to focusing, directing the mind into the Lower Dandian. The something you were saying about that relationship between like, oh, we don't feel, we're not processing our feelings in our mind, but there's this prominent focus of heart mind unification not being separate within the
The
system of
system.
Reiki, right? Okay, so I just had to highlight that for everyone listening, because you got me so excited, because this is what I am so passionate about, and I'm so thankful you're bringing all of this up. Okay, go ahead.
Happy to resonate with you.
Yeah.
I think, I'm absolutely sure that there is a connection for most people, especially if they start practicing or
Yeah.
praying or doing something towards some kind of cleansing and evolution. The connection between the mind and the soul. I'm not talking about the other one, the spirit, the inner self, which
Right.
is a little bit more different story. But the soul and the emotional and the mental are also fields, and they are main centers that in most people that again are practicing, are using spiritual practices in their life, they do have a connection. And again, my opinion is that the mind processes, interprets emotions, doesn't generate them per se.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if, from my opinion, what I've said regarding the emotions, the chakras, that the areas of the body that are connected to the soul and they have energy centers like the chakras, they generate emotion. That's my opinion. They generate, or at least they kind of trigger certain emotions that are somewhere within, but they're not through the mind. The mind just processes that emotion. Because again, I come back to the instinct idea. When you're afraid and you react, instinctively react. The mind processes it, it's a danger, but you instinctively react like you when you're little and you were a child and you put your fingers on a flame. It's immediately the mind
Yeah.
processes in a millisecond and you do that. And next time it becomes a reflex not to touch fire again. Of course, it's a pattern in the mind, but the instinctive part we have, in my opinion, is related to this structure named the inner self, which has, and I will come back to the connection with Reiki because I'm trying to make a connection here. So bear with me. I'll try to be short about this. In my opinion, as far as I study, the inner self contains the Kundalini, which is like the vital energy. This is a complex energy, not just energy to go and run. This is the
Right.
energy that fuels the whole physical body and also is an energy that can help. How to say this? bypass certain obstacles subconscious, because this is the subconscious level in psychology. The similar, it's a similarity, the deep subconscious level in psychology. In Hinduism, it's called the inner self or Kundalini energy. And this allows you, when you become aware of it and you try to use it to ascend it. And by the way, Reiki, you can do that, but I'll come back to that in a minute. When it becomes to ascend, it goes to the gates of consciousness, the chakras,
Right.
and it goes to the main energy center. It just reaches the soul, and it reaches the mind. And then there's that enlightenment process that many philosophies and religions talk about. Then you become self-aware. You understand the world, how it functions. You understand that nothing is by chance. You understand that everything that has happened to you to this point is a reflection of the things that are inside you and need healing, and the things that are inside you that need attention. And even the good things, the joyful things, the
Right.
beautiful things are a reflection of the beauty inside of you. And the ones that you didn't want are a reflection of the things you need to pay attention to: blockages, negative energy, negative thinking, programs that you have attracted, maybe self-created, but they were also maybe projected upon you. And if they were projected, why were they projected on you?
Right.
Why did you resonate with that? And this inner self is like the main part that needs to calibrate its resonance and vibration, because they're slightly different things, so that you can manifest all the things in life. You remember The Secret? Everybody knows The Secret. It is an amazing book and movie. But they don't explain this process, that once you go through eliminating those blockages from the inner self level, you can manifest things easier. But you can manifest things that are in accordance also, you need to take into consideration this, with the elements that need balancing from the karmic perspective. Because if you have a lot of things need to balance out with people, relationships that you have wrong, done wrong in previous lives, you can't manifest all the things you want until you heal those relationships and those connections, until you balance them out. This is not about somebody punishing you because you did wrong in another life. There's some bearded old man in the sky that tries to punish you. No, this is, you can imagine God as a bearded, that's okay. But it's not about punishment, it's about balancing things, because you do good, you receive good, in a sense that something comes towards you, even if at first doesn't seem to be useful for you in perspective. Can be very useful. And then you do something wrong, so to speak, something that affects others, then you have to balance it out. You created a problem, a suffering. You need to take the responsibility and balance that thing out in one way or another, consciously or subconsciously. You need to do that. And it will happen. Maybe somebody steals your wallet. Maybe something happens. By the way, money is the easiest way of paying karmic debts, because it's the currency, the spiritual, energetical, and physical currency that we all use, so that we can actually pay things to gain something. It's the most easiest way of paying things. Of course, this shouldn't be a habit. Like, you shouldn't, like, I'm not, people should not take this like spreading money left and right. No. I'm talking about sometimes things happen, you know, like robberies or theft, because it's the easiest way of paying things, instead of paying with your health or paying through your elements in your life that are more important than money. Money can be made. That's what I'm trying to get at. That was my point. So I hope it's not misunderstood. And coming back to the idea of the inner self, this inner self and the Kundalini energy within it, this is the ascending current. The Reiki teacher, chakra teacher, said this. I forgot her name. Anodea Judith. Yeah. I'm not trying to make any commercial. I'm just saying I learned this from her. This was the ascending.
Is she the one? She wrote a book about
The chakras.
chakras. Yes.
Yeah. And I have her course, and I learned about the ascending and descending current. The ascending current is the Kundalini energy that rises up and blossoms at one point like a fountain of light, goes through the gates of consciousness and the chakras. And as it goes to the gates of consciousness, you heal things there. You reach the sacral level. There's things to heal there. It opens, but there are things that manifest in your life. And it's a gradual way. Reiki can help you do that when you practice. Whether you choose to practice the hand, and it's so simple. And people, how can Reiki, as you mentioned, be so useful? You just place your hands and that's it. When you place your hands and you transfer universal energy to your body, you stimulate that ascending current. And especially when you reach the chakra or the area of the body where that energy level is at. And normally people have this Kundalini energy at the sacral level, more than most of people. Especially when you reach that level, that's the seat of the Kundalini. That's when it begins to be stimulated and thinks, maybe you are changing the vibration in your body, you are changing the flow of energy, the universal energy in your body. I think I might try to ascend a little bit. And then it ascends to the solar plexus, but then it stays there and needs to fix things there.
Right.
This is not, if this awakening would be sudden, as you mentioned, you would lose your mind. It's too much to process. You need to have a gradual flow. And she also, Anadea Judith also mentions the descending current. That's the universal life force energy. When you become attuned to Reiki, when you pray, when you do meditation, if certain meditations that are healing, when you work with this kind of universal energy, the light, the divine light, that is a descending current. It goes through the crown chakra. It's not your energy. That's a borrowed energy from the source and goes to your body and cleanses your body and stimulates your energy, which is the vital, the Kundalini energy, let's call it, the current. It's not only vital energy again, but I'm repeating this because it's more easier for me. It stimulates the Kundalini energy and that helps it rise. And when the two blend together, that's a unity right there. And that's when this goes up, this goes down, and the centers become like merged to a merged, not physically merged, like they don't move per se from the on the physical body, but the elements become bind and become aware of your inner self and the things you need fixing from other lives and this life, and
Well,
then you become aware of
I have to say, Vlad, because you're bringing up another great point that, I think is so important for people to have an awareness of in this process. So the way that you're describing it is how I even explain the attunement process because of different things that I've studied. And, like it's interesting how you may study other things and then it makes you understand, say, even Reiki from another lens and, so on, right? And that's what it seems like to me. I'm like, oh, it was like this activation within that brought me into this awareness. So I reflected back on what it was like getting the first attunement, and that's what it was like. It was, there was this aspect where I felt connection to, like I would say, like a higher aspect of even my being. But simultaneously, there were things cracking open where I became aware of, like, wow. I didn't realize what I was holding or things that had affected me. Like these things started to come into my awareness. And the reason I just wanted to pause for a second to say how important that is because a lot of times people think that when they experience some discomfort or all of a sudden now they're like, oh my God, what am I realizing? Did I do something wrong? Because I thought this was all supposed to be just that higher aspect. It's like, but understand it is that higher aspect that comes in to activate, to help transmute and help become aware of these other essences that we've been holding, right? And so again, it just points right back to me why I think Reiki is such an incredible system. And I hope that people listening really do understand there's so much beauty in that blend and how they work together and how your healing process, when you have these realizations, it's a gift, and we can use the system to help guide us through
And
that.
also, it's a bit warm in here, so sorry. So the thing is that you become exactly as you mentioned, you begin to realize many aspects, not necessarily of your current, you also realize of your current life, but you realize aspects within yourself, what you truly want, because that's when you access the element which is quite discussed but not fully understood, the shadow self. And Jung brought this long time ago. I think he was the first one, but I do believe I have read in some Hindu text, I'm not sure if in Upanishad, I think they had the concept not as well defined as Jung, but still they do mention something about this aspect of ourselves. It's not an evil part, it's not a bad part, the shadow self. It's part of ourselves that truly desires things. And unfortunately, the reality is, and I'm not trying to promote anything here, but when you abide to all the society's rules and you just do what everybody does, which is fine. Some people really want to do that, that's okay. But some people who are awakened and want to do something else with their lives within themselves, but they don't know what to do and they just, go with the flow and I'll do whatever. Now everybody does. You become frustrated and you don't know what's happening. And that's when breakups appear, or fights, or unpleasantries in your life, and stress and anxiety. And you don't know where are they coming from. Why am I feeling? Why am I having? If you want to take a step back and think, why am I reacting like that? Not my partner's fault. It's not my child's fault or my relative's fault. It's something with me. Of course, you cannot, if you have responsibilities, it's a bit difficult then to actually do the things maybe you wanted to do. Maybe you want to go with a motorcycle in the Andes. You can't really do that. You know, it's a bit difficult, but you can substitute that with other things. You know, you can go on a small trip. Maybe you can take some time off with friends. Maybe you can take your family, raise money. Maybe you can do a therapy, meditations. Meditations help you visualize places. So there are alternatives. You can take a step back and think a little bit, but most of those problems come from not paying attention. I'm not going to say heal, paying attention to the shadow's needs, because when shadow's needs are met, but with common sense, not affecting others. And usually the shadow self, if it's not, there are not other voices involved, the shadow self will never ask you to harm someone else or to influence someone else. It will ask you to do things for yourself, to pay attention to yourself, not in a narcissistic way, but in a common sense way that you need for yourself. You can, I don't know, even I'm talking even about material things like buying that pair of shoes you wanted, going to that course, going to those dance classes you wanted, watching that movie you wanted all the time and you didn't have time. And those little things, they matter a lot. They might seem superficial, but they do matter, because we are living in the physical world after all. We're all talking about the spiritual things, but let's not forget, we are touching everything and seeing everything. We are living in the physical world. So the shadow self, in my opinion, is part of the inner self structure, which also has the Kundalini energy and the experiences from past lives and the maternal and paternal sub-personalities that we should pay attention to them. It's up to us if we want to keep them. My opinion, they should be kind of paid attention to and healed and try to detach from them, because it's difficult to be your true self if you don't detach from the personalities that influenced your life at one point since birth. Of course, they were doing, maybe they were amazing parents, and I, God bless, and I have quite amazing parents. And but at one point they don't know, they don't understand what I was doing, and they were like a little bit opposing somehow in their subconscious, and it's not their fault. That's the way they were raised. But you can try to detach a bit. You can love them. You can take care of them. You can be with next to them. Just don't forget to take that time for you and pay attention to what you have to do as well. So a bit of detachment is not bad. But coming back to the shadow idea, the shadow side can be healed with Reiki. And I do mention Karuna Reiki in this case. Karuna Reiki has, if not one or two meditations, I believe, using, you not using, sorry, just accessing the shadow self. And why Karuna and not Usui? I don't know. Because Karuna has, in my opinion, has a higher vibration than Usui Reiki, and also accesses higher vibrational beings. I'm not, of course, the archangels, Raphael, Michael, and Gabriel, through the symbols, because symbols are keys that open doors to certain manifestations of energy, of universal energy. In this case, they also connect to the energy prince of the archangels. You also have access to angels of peace, to Shanti, angels of knowledge through Gnosa, angels of creativity through Kriya, of wisdom, and of nature and wisdom through Yava, and so on. So there are Karuna
I'm sorry,
accesses.
I'm just laughing because I remember when I took that class, I was like, how am I going to remember all of these symbols? But I did. But anyway, I just as a side note, I would love to have you come back where we could just talk about this because this is another topic that I think people are curious about, just talking about symbols, our connection to them, and so on. So just a side note,
I would love
let's come
that,
back for
because
that.
people are interested in Reiki symbols a lot, because I think in the subconscious level they somehow bridge the physical world with the spiritual world. It's like exactly a bridge. They gap. They stop that space gap. You know that, if I'm saying this correctly, they just make that bridge in the spiritual and physical world, then they are keys as well that open, in my opinion, the keys that open gateways to manifest certain manifestations of universal life force energy. That's why they are different. That's why they do different things. That's why in combinations, certain symbols offer different perspectives, offer different effects,
Right.
like the distance Reiki. Personally, I use Chokurei Seheki Hon Shase Shonen and Etsudai Komyo, if possible, when sending energy. Some people just use Hon Shase Shonen. That's okay. My opinion is that the transition with those two symbols behind Hon Shase Shonen, Chokurei and Seheki, is better. But I digress. Coming back to
Well,
the
we are going to come back and talk about it. Don't worry. We'll get to that
There's
episode.
so many things. Yeah, there's so many things regarding the
Everybody
symbols.
stay tuned. Yes. Okay.
I was quite passionate about the symbols, and I realized that, wow, people are also interested in this. I should, rethink all the knowledge and try to place all what I've learned together somehow. And I
Yeah.
have the book. Yeah. So I also have a course about that in the book. But I wanted to make everything like in one place so that everybody can benefit from it. The thing, and I also have the articles about symbols. They are free for use. The thing is that there are even more uses, I'm sure of that, that will be, discovered, because I don't think that only what we know right now is enough. Even for the Usui Reiki, which is not something, don't misunderstand me, Usui Reiki is not a low vibration, it's very high vibration, but Usui Reiki symbols, actually, I cannot. They are very interesting, those Reiki symbols. They access, no, they do access different. If the Karuna ones access also energy prints of archangels, those Reiki symbols help with the basic harmony, basic cleansing, mental, I mean, mental and emotional basic cleansing. I use them, come on, I use them all the time. I wanted to say
Can
that
I?
even with those,
Well, those three, interestingly, they remind me a lot of the Dandians because the first symbol reminds me a lot of like directing spirit in, like directing the mind, drawing that energy in. The second symbol is really that purification, that heart, mind, intelligence, where we come back into starting to unify through what you mentioned before, because we have to come in and be present to start to recognize and realize what's being held in the lower. And then that healing comes in the heart center of that with compassion, with love to transmute. Okay, second symbol. But then that third symbol, even though we use it for distant, I'm like, but it really is pointing to dissolving the illusion of separation. Like, that's the only reason we're able to do this remote work is coming into this realization, like we're not separate from anything, anyone. Okay, fine. And so then it all points back to again within the system. Here is yet another stepping stone of like an ordering of how we come into this unity consciousness. I mean, it's brilliant. It's like it's all throughout the whole system of Reiki. And this is why I really have to work on. I get it. It
For
makes me so
anybody,
sad when people talk about it. It's such a, I don't know, like
that's
basic
okay.
way or yeah. I'm like, I
That's
hope
okay.
we start to have these conversations more though, so that people who are drawn to this because there is something inherent in us that wants to awaken, that we can start to recognize how the system really could be a framework to support that.
I think that Usui Reiki can alone. Can be life-changing. Even I take it for granted, I admit sometimes, because we learn so many symbols, so many systems, levels, and all those things. And even I take it for granted sometimes. I remember, no, I remember that there is a Reiki teacher named Hyakuten Inamoto, and he's the founder of
I interviewed
Komyo.
him. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I met him in Japan for the 100 years of Reiki in 2023. Well, it should have been 2022, but the world was in pain then.
Yeah.
We had to move it to 2023. And I went to the conference in Japan for 100 years of it. I met Hyakuten Inamoto, great guy, really great guy, great person. And I have all the respect for him. And he's so humble and nice. And he, from what I understand, I didn't ask him personally, but I understood from someone who learned from him, directly learned from him, that he spent almost 10 years or more than 10 years just with level one Reiki. And you would think, like, I'm a master, I'm attuned in Reiki master. Well, I have everything under my belt. No, just having an attunement doesn't make you a Reiki master. Not
Right.
even 5 years, 10 years of experience makes you. A master is a concept, is not an attainable goal.
Right.
For everybody watching, this isn't this. It's not a status that you can. You just have. You have the diploma. Okay, that's certification. That's a symbolic certification. The status of master, even a martial arts master, is not really a master. If he sometimes there are people stronger and more skillful than he than they are. So it's just a thing to aspire to, is a spiritual status more that you need to aspire, not a condition in the physical world. I don't know if to explain this more clearly. So you all your life you're working to master yourself and master Reiki or master a discipline that you're interested in, even cooking, whatever it is. There's always room to improve. And then you can, as you improve, you write a book, you make a course that you can inspire people who are on their way on that path. But you're, as long as you realize you're not the main element in the universe, you know, say it differently. I was trying to translate from Romanian expression. It's good because this is not only about humbleness, about, I say it correctly, humbleness. It's about realizing the fact that there are people that are more stronger and skillful than you and more knowledgeable than you, and there's so much knowledge to attain. And the master idea is just, anyway, coming back to the subject at hand. And he spent
That's a
10
good
years.
thing that you point out. No, I just want to say it's really good what you point out, Vlad. It truly is. I actually posted something in the Alchemy Circle the other day, and I literally described it as wearing a costume. Like we get, a certain certification, then we believe that we're perceived a certain way. And so then a lot of times people even they don't want to admit that perhaps they may not know or understand what is expected of them, and it can cause a lot of distortion. And it is about all of this work, self-mastery, and how it is we're personally working to achieve that. But another thing you bring to mind is I remember I used to always think too, where people thought like I just want to get through it quick, like I did at the in the beginning. I was curious, like what is at this master level? Like I got to find out, right? And then I realized someone could have a level one training, but if they are more diligent and dedicated in their practice, they could be more connected, more tuned in, whatever you want to call it, than someone who has gone to master level. It's your personal diligence, the personal work that is going to help you.
Exactly. And this was the argument I had to bring to people. I made this course, Returning to Reiki, which is actually based on a Reiki refresher course that I did a long time ago. And returning to Reiki was, you know, there were people asking me, why do I need to return to Reiki? I just activate my palms and I place them on my head, on my body. I said, yes, you can do that. However, this course was meant, I'm just trying to reach a point here, was meant, and these type of courses were meant for people who want to understand what happens when you place your hands and what happens when you transfer energy to a certain part of the body and what that part of the body does in your evolution and healing. And not only that, you can, you after you have not practiced for, I don't know, 7, 8 years, and I have examples in my life. Do you think the flow of energy is exactly the same as somebody who's freshly attuned to Reiki? I don't think that. I don't think so. That's my opinion. It is a bit more technical, and somebody would argue, like, wait a second, it's energy, it flows. Yes, it does. However, you are the channel for that energy, which means that you're going to pass through those 5, 8, 10 years that you're not going to practice. You have stress, you have anxiety, you have problems, you have frustrations, maybe you have depression, maybe you have breakups, maybe you have a perfect life, maybe everything is okay. Still, you do have in those 5, 10 years negative emotions or something happens, negative programs. We all do. It's fine. Nobody's going to judge you for that. But you cannot tell me that you don't need, okay, you can do a reattunement. That's fine. But there are these courses or people, because I'm not the only one, I think, who does this kind of course that tries to take you by the hand and explains to you, listen, you need to pay attention to this, 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 this. And here's a meditation that helps you reconnect. You don't need to be a real attunement. You don't need to pay, I don't know how much money costs an attunement, depends on your US or whatever country that, you know, they charge a lot. You don't need to do a real attunement. You can do this meditation. This is in the course. You have these steps, you have those options, you have those chapters and those modules that can take literally care of you. Of course, you have to practice. And that's what I'm trying to say. Level one Reiki for someone, even who has practiced for 10 years, but constantly is more skillful than a Reiki master teacher who has practiced only the 21 days, and after that
Right.
left it 5, 10 years in the basement somewhere,
Can I
so to
say to
speak.
your point, Vlad, you remind me of a, because to me, I agree. It's like the whole thing of refinement. And it's not to say, I mean, like, yes, the first day you get attuned, you feel that you can do all the things, it's fine. But it's again, this redirection to the refinement of ourselves. And you remind me of like the refining of that heart mind intelligence that happens over the process of the healing, of the recognizing of the shadow, of having compassion for ourselves. Like there's literally this energetic like reformatting, this tuning that happens. You know, like a lot of people think like this whole idea or concept of being high vibration is just being like positive. I'm only saying positive things. It's like, no, it's literally frequency and what we hold. But it to your point, this is the like basic way it comes across to me. If you are around someone, just around someone who is such a loving person, I mean, there's just something about this person. They're just such a compassionate, kind, loving person. You can feel that. And you'll feel it in that you feel safe around them. You'll feel it in that you just want to be around them. You feel it, you feel it, you feel it. Conversely, you could be around someone who's holding a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, da 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 da. Even if they didn't say a word, we tend to pick up on that energetically and we're like, ew, something feels funny about this person. I don't know. I don't like their vibe. Like, right? Like we say these things. But literally, what we're picking up on again is what it is we are generating, what we're holding, what's refined, what is not. And so, with all that you shared today, I really hope people get this beauty of, again, like allowing the refinement, not just for the sake of ourselves, but this is where that unity consciousness comes in, right? So instead of thinking like I have to heal people or putting this like burden of like expectation, I have to do all this, da da da. This is where it comes to that whole idea of like, to me, dichotomia, right? Like it's just your being. The more you heal, the more you allow yourself to be compassionate, forgiving, all this, blah, blah, blah. And yes, we know it takes work, but just your presence is going to create a shift in environment, is going to have an effect on people. I just want to time check with you really quick because we've gone
Yes.
over the hour. Are you okay? Is it okay?
How much we have
We could
reached? How
just
much?
like, yeah, we need to wrap it up because I just realized
Okay.
how long we have you.
Oh my God. Okay, that's 1.5 hours. I didn't realize it. Sorry. I
Yeah,
was.
no. It's okay for me. I hope people are learning a lot from this conversation. I just realized
Yeah,
we've
I
kept you
hope that.
longer. Okay.
I love to do this with you. This actually, last time we talked for. I think it was 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Jesus, I mean, come on, 2.5 hours. But it was really a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's a pleasure. And actually the vibe you're speaking of, you are one of the persons, and there is not that many in my life that I've met that they have this nice vibe that they calm me down. And actually this vibe kind of places my thoughts together somehow, kind of
Yeah.
grounds me, but also helps me think about the spiritual ideas that I have to present now, and gives me the calm. It's like a perfect blend of calmness with grounding,
Yeah.
if I can. And you offer me that feeling, that calmness with grounding. You know, I can just speak. And of course, I'd want to. I'm sorry, I spoke quite a lot, and I was not stopping. So for you to also mention a few things,
No, this is
because I,
perfect, Vlad. And I have to tell you, it's mutual. And that's why I think our conversations go so quickly
Thank
and
you.
so long. And I'm so thankful, no, truly, that you came to talk about all of this because I do. It's all about activating this within everyone that's listening. Like, you know, take what resonates with you. If something sparks something in you that, you know, inspires you in any way, that's really the key. So I'm thankful for you.
I just want to mention that no Reiki master in his life, I think, has not. This is a bit separate, but I need to mention also the physical plane after all those spiritual ideas. I don't think there's a Reiki master in this world that has spent many years being a Reiki master and not went into a hospital or took vitamins or had a painkiller pill, take a painkiller pill. What I'm trying to say is that I don't think Reiki, because I had this argument with even close people, doesn't replace modern medicine.
Right.
I'm not saying that modern medicine is the answer. I'm not saying that Reiki is the answer. I think Reiki has many answers in a sense that it offers you the awareness necessary for understanding what needs to be addressed in your life. I mean emotionally, mental blockages or negative thinking, negative programs, and yeah, the universal energy that you can channel helps you dissolve those negative programs. So it places your body in a state of healing. And sometimes medicine does the same. Sometimes. I'm not against modern medicine. I'm not against science or anything. Actually, I'm quite astronomy aficionado, not astrology. Astronomy aficionado. I like that. And I am studying since I was a kid. I had these books with planets and solar system and everything. So I have to give credit to also to science and medicine. The only thing is that spiritual concepts have been for millennia, have been present for millennia. Not all of them are, some of them may be based on superstitions. Okay. But some of them are not. And science has been around for a few hundred years. Medicine has been around for a couple of hundred years. And I do believe they are still in their infant stages. I'm not saying that they are not true and they have huge potential. We will change the world for sure. In a few decades, things will change. I mean, it grows exponentially. Technology grows exponentially as we pass on. Some of the technology is good. Some of it, maybe it's not going to be so useful or good for us. We'll see. We all know what we're talking about, but we'll see. The thing is that it has its usefulness, and I cannot deny that. But I'm just saying to all the people who are also into science and medicine, which I respect, if one, I think I told you this last time, if one case out of all the thousands of years of, let's say, modern history from ancient times to now, one paranormal activity, one metaphysical event, just one out of thousands of years was real. One exorcism, one, I don't know, vision of an angel. One, just one case in thousands of years, just one. The rest of them can be superstitions or imagination or whatever. Just one is true, is real. And I think at least one is real in all the history of humanity. And if one is real, it means that there's a something beyond the physical world, something that we can't see, we can't touch, we can't smell, but there is. And the only way to slightly understand that is to tap into these kind of spiritual practices. I'm not saying that everybody should do this, but I'm saying it's, I think, so far as we know, the only way. And spiritual practices and our awareness and perception evolves just as science does, just as medicine does. I think even Reiki, because of the modern approach in Reiki, evolves because more than half of the modern approach of Reiki is useful for therapy, for helping yourself and others. I'm not saying the traditional is wrong. I'm saying that it benefits from a complementary aspect or an upgrade. The same does science, the same does medicine, the same does our perception and approaching and tackling into the dimensions that we cannot yet perceive or understand because the universal energy flows to all dimensions and tapping into it and tapping into the understanding angels, archangels and their energy or different entities and understanding that we have programs, understanding how we have three main energy centers and we have the smaller, not more exactly, vortexes, the chakras, the gates of consciousness. These are all part of, should be part of complementing science and medicine, should not be against, and even religion, but that's another story.
You come right back
Yeah,
to
that's my
unity
opinion.
consciousness, Vlad. It's right back. You're talking
Yeah,
about unity again, like unifying where we have this.
they should shake hands and dine together, honestly.
100%.
But interests are different and perceptions are different, so who are we to say anything about it right
Well,
now?
I have to ask you one last thing before we go. And again, I'm so thankful for everything you shared and we'll share with everyone again how to connect with you. In the beginning of this, you and I, we kind of bounced around, but you did mention a little bit about cleansing. So if you have time, could you mention, I know that you're working on things that are focusing on using energy healing for cleansing. Could you talk a little bit about why this may even be a matter of importance? Because again, this is something that people are very curious about in doing this work.
Well, visualize a pipe through which water flows. And that pipe at one point becomes dirty. And you cleanse the pipe and the water is clean. So that's what happens to us. If we don't, and I don't mean only physical cleanse, I mean also energetic cleanse.
Right.
From programs, anxiety, frustrations, all those, sometimes, most of the time, they are self-made obstacles, not all of the time. Some of them are projected, some of them are from exterior, but most of them are self-made. It's called self-sabotage, yeah, in psychology. And cleansing, in this case with Reiki. Reiki, in my opinion, again, I think is one of the most efficient and simple ways of dismantling those negative thinking programs. Any kind of blockage, or I don't know how to call it better, physical or energetical problem has at its base energy and information. Even our DNA at the very, neutron and proton and atom level has energy and information in it. It's made in such a way so that it can form matter, of
Right.
the touchable matter. But in the end, everything is energy information. And if when you tap into these kind of practices, especially Reiki, especially you have the symbols and you have access to Karuna Reiki or Usui master level, and it's a higher vibration there, then you can dismantle those negative programs. You can dissolve that negative thinking. You can stimulate the flow of, and the flow of energy I was talking about, Kundalini energy, and also allow the universal energy to flow. You calm your mind, you cleanse your mind, and you change the resonance and vibration of each part of your body when you practice the self-treatment, which means that it's like you have a mosquito repellent and you spray it, and the mosquitoes cannot touch you anymore. They don't like it, they run away. The same is with, I don't know, programs and entities even.
Right.
Once you have a higher vibration, the chances of you having problems physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, diminish. I'm not saying there's an answer for everything 100%. No protection and no, because it is 100% proof, because we're still in the physical plane. We are tributary to the physical laws. And just as we are born, we need at one point to go away. And that's the reality. And that's not Reiki, nor anybody can change that. So my teacher used to say that every disease can be healed, but not every person. Because of their mentality, their way of
Right.
thinking, the way of they were educated, the way they were conditioned. Because if they don't change this, they cannot change the problem they have. Of course, it's a little bit exaggerated, but the essence of it, I kind of like the essence of it. Every disease can be cured, but not every person.
Yeah. Well, it
So
sounds
that's
like when you come back, we'll have to talk about cultivation of energy as well, because I think that's another very important thing that isn't often spoken of. And this is
Yeah.
like what you're describing is what I tell people a lot too. And they're like, well, I need protection in this and this and this. I'm like, well, one of the big things is that the foundation is the cultivation, like you said, even like keeping our pipe clean, so to speak. But I want to go deeper because I know. I feel like we're leaving a cliffhanger for everyone, but I would love to have you back to have a conversation about these concepts, as well as going deeper into the symbols. And yeah, so we'll have to do all of that. So before we go, though, I just want to make sure we wrap it up because I don't want to keep you all night. And I know very different time zone. For everyone listening, you can learn more about Vlad and his work and all of the wonderful content that he creates. Go to ReikiScoop.com. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. There's free content, but you can also become a member and you get access to more information that way. You can also find him on Instagram at ReikiScoop. And of course, we will have him back on Reiki Radio. Just if you could share, though, with everyone, what else you offer online, because I know you offer classes and you have books and books coming.
Well, I do offer one-on-one classes that last about 1 hour, give or take. I'm not really that strict. But usually within an hour, I try to find out, what the person needs most in their lives, like to improve or maybe heal, maybe change. I do offer attunements separate from the class that I've mentioned, for Usui Reiki, for Karuna Reiki, also certificates with, I know people are interested in getting certificates. I'm really not that. I know it's a nice thing, but what matters is what you do, what you receive. It's not really you don't receive a job interview. It's an attunement in a spiritual system from someone. But still, I understand. I do offer that. And of course, I have my courses. I have level one and two Usui Reiki course, which was, it took me like 8 months to create a long time ago. It's really nice. I have the Reiki symbol, the ultimate Reiki symbols guide book, physically on Amazon and on the website, digitally and physically. And I also have the Return to Reiki course, which took, I re remade, I think, the most. It was the refresher course, which was made three or four times, and then two times the Return to Reiki, and it's like the final version. And it, in my opinion, I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but it's a great course. I'm sorry, but it was like really so much effort, so much time, so much attention, so much retweaking that it's a good course. I mean, for people who want to either have not practiced in the long so much in the past, but want to regain and want to reattach Reiki to their life, or those who have just been attuned and, as I was, are confused and don't know where to start from. It like takes you. I did skip the history part. It's really not that, but that's the only part I skipped. The rest is pretty much there. It's a
I
bit
do the same.
simplified compared to the levels one and two, because that brings you with all the level one and two Usui Reiki course, which is much bigger. Still, I do have the premium newsletter membership, bliss.reikiscoop.com. And bliss is BLISSD, without the E after, without the E before D, bliss. And Peter came up with this idea, bliss, and it was quite nice. bliss.reikiscoop.com.
Well, make
And
sure you give me the link for that so I can just put that down in the show description. People can click on it in that way. Yeah, it's very easy to access.
I'll provide you with everything. Is it okay if I do it tomorrow though? A bit more like just an email. Yeah,
That's
it's okay.
fine. Yeah.
Because I have to go now after
Yeah.
this interview.
Yes, of course. So I do want to thank you again, Vlad, for everything you came to share. We will see you again soon. Everyone go to ReikiScoop.com, follow Vlad at ReikiScoop on Instagram, and we will see you next time.
Much, Yolanda. It was really a pleasure, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I wish you all the best until next time. Let's see each other again. Let's keep in touch. I really had a great time, and I really am joyful when talking about these topics.
Me too.
I'm looking forward for next interview.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, Vlad.
Blessings to you, Yolanda. See you.
Okay, beautiful alchemist. I want to thank Vlad again for coming to have this inspiring conversation with us here on Reiki Radio. If you want to learn more about Vlad, his work, his articles, his classes, his books, go to ReikiScoop.com. You can also follow Vlad on Instagram at ReikiScoop. And there are links down in the show description if you would like to subscribe to his newsletter or the membership option for his newsletter. Also, don't forget, you can join me for the Reiki retreat in September here in San Diego. Just email me if you want the information to register. We already have some people registered, and there is a limit, of course. So if you want to join, let me know. I can get that information out to you. And yeah, I think that is it for today. Hopefully, we will have Vlad back soon, so that we can have a deeper dive about the symbols and talking about cultivation of energy. Just so much to explore, and I hope that you all are enjoying it. Thank you so much for being part of this community. Remember, you can follow me on Instagram at Reiki Radio. You can sign up for my newsletter at theenergeticalchemist.com. You get some free content as soon as you sign up, and I hope to see you all very soon. Remember to always journey in love.